Good evening. I invite you to stand as you are able and turn in your bulletin to our call to worship. Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy.
To us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord.
This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger.
Glory to God in the highest.
Our opening carol is O Come, All Ye Faithful, verses 1 through 4, found on page 234 in your hymnal.
Please remain standing for our opening prayer. Eternal God, by the birth of Jesus Christ, you gave yourself to the world. Grant that, being born in our hearts, he may save us from all our sins and restore within us the image and likeness of our Creator, to whom be everlasting praise and glory, world without end. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, good evening. Welcome to worship on this Christmas Eve, and welcome to the Belvedere United Methodist Church. My name is Evan Roars Dodge. I'm the pastor here of this congregation. If you're visiting with us this evening, I want to extend to you a special welcome and hope that you feel the love and the warmth that is in our midst. Now, you may say right now you don't feel very warm, and that's because we've had a problem with the furnace. That's what we're saying. What we're really trying to do is to recreate the environment in the night in which Jesus was born. So get your swaddling clothes out and wrap yourselves up. And the last we knew the furnace had kicked on, we should get a little bit of heat. So just, you know, snuggle next to you, love the one you're with, just get together and be warm. This is Christmas Eve, and we're all about love tonight. So just want to bring your attention to two things during our service tonight. When we come to celebrate communion, I want to give you the instructions now so that you know when you come up, we'll be taking communion by intinction tonight. And all are welcome to come to the Lord's table. That doesn't mean you have to. You come as you will. You'll be given a piece of bread to dip in the cup. And then you're going to return to your seats. I know it's a little tight here with the flowers and the Christmas tree. You'll come down the center aisle and return to your seats by the side aisles after receiving communion. We have a beautiful service this evening. Great music. We'll hear again the story of Jesus' birth and all that that means to us. So I hope that you find meaning and hope in our worship service tonight. This time I'd ask the Schutte family to come forward and we will light the Christ candle on our Advent wreath.
We light the Christ candle to celebrate and rejoice that the light of the world is born this night. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Glory be to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to all people of good will. God with us. Amen.
You turn in your hymnals to Carol 211. And we will sing verses 1 through 4 of O Come, Emmanuel.
Our scripture lesson this evening is from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7 in your pew Bibles on page 1072. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us is born, to us a son is given. A child is born, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? Gospel lesson is taken from Luke chapter 2. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory shone around them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a babe wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all of these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Would all the children come up and join me up here at the steps? Hey, guys. This guy over here with the three-piece suit on, man, you're dapper tonight, my man. I need to get dress tips from him, or at least his parents. So this is Christmas Eve. What's tomorrow? What are you most excited about for Christmas? You can be honest and say what you want to say and not what your parents want to hear. Or not what I want to hear. What are you most excited about? There we go. All right, I was waiting for that. Toys. Exactly what my kids say too. You like presents, right? What else about Christmas is nice and fun and exciting? Having your family over. All right, that's brownie points with mom and dad right there. What else do you like? You know what I like? Christmas cookies. I like them a little bit too much. Aren't they good? Christmas cookies. I like the decorations, the trees. Look at the beautiful flowers. Isn't it great? What do you think is in here? Something that... I realized that after I tried to stuff it in here. It's something that doesn't fit in the box. So what would happen if I just sat here and we talked about the box and the pretty ribbon and the snowman on the box and the snowflakes? What would happen?
I would get bored.
You would get bored. I would get bored too. Everybody would get bored. It's like a pastor's sermon, right? But you know what else happens if we never find out what's in the box? Do you want to know what's in the box?
Yeah.
Let's find out what doesn't fit in the box.
Yeah.
What do you think this is?
It's baby Jesus.
It's baby Jesus. It goes all over the nativity, right?
I was wondering what
they You got it, man. Belvedere United Methodist Church, we don't raise no dummies. This is the baby Jesus, right? And you know, he noticed that Jesus wasn't there. Are they just staring at a table? Well, they are right now, but that's going to change in a minute. They're staring at the ground. Now, you know, what else is Christmas all about? Christmas, yes, there's presents and there's lights and there's cookies and trees and spending time with family, but what else? You can all say it at once. Jesus, right? It's about Jesus and Jesus being born. And sometimes when it comes to Christmas, we can get so excited about the lights and the cookies and the presents that we forget about Jesus. Just like if I were to look at this present and never open it up, I could get so distracted by what's on the outside, I'd never open it up and find out what the present is all about. So let's remember that Christmas is all about, yeah, there's nothing else in there. I wish there were some cookies in there. I would share them with you. I'm hungry right about now. It's about Jesus, right? So I want to, Riley and Michaela, would you take him very carefully, because Miss Benton reminded us that not only is Jesus missing from the Nativity, Jesus is also expensive. So carry Jesus over very gently, and you can lay him. Linda, I hate to think about how much Mary or Joseph cost. Jesus was expensive. All right, so let's come back and let's have a prayer before we go back to our seats, okay? God, help us to always remember, not just at Christmas, but throughout the rest of the year. Help us to remember Jesus and his life and the love that he came to give us that we might love other people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. And if you find any cookies in your seats, bring them up here. You'll just eat them. Would you stand for our carol? Would you please join me in prayer? God, on this most holy night, when we remember you coming to earth to live as a human, live as one of us, to show us the way to salvation, God, we pray that as we gather together tonight, that we might hear a word of hope, a word of love, a word of peace that might fill our hearts. And that so all that we do and all that we say would point others to your love. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen. So every year around this time, there's something that happens without fail. You can read about it on the news. That is people taking the baby Jesus from nativity scene. Have you heard about this in the news? I want to share a couple with you. This was just a week ago in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Police say a woman stole baby Jesus from a nativity scene in Bethlehem, dropped the figurine off at a hospital with a note explaining that the baby had been neglected by his parents, Joseph. This is funny. His parents, quote, Joseph and Mary Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Police say 49-year-old Jacqueline Ross told them that it was a joke, but they aren't laughing. She was like, I'm laughing. She was identified from surveillance video and is jailed on charges of theft and institutional vandalism. Whatever that is, just don't do it. Linda, you think that baby Jesus was expensive. The one she stole was $3,700. Man, gotta love capitalism. Police say she left a note with the porcelain baby that read in part, child had a broken right foot which has been neglected. Parents, Joseph and Mary Christ got a warning. She doesn't yet have an attorney. Here's one from California. A burglar stole a California church's Jesus, but not the Christ from Christmas. A week before Christmas, members of the St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Modesto built a nativity scene in the front yard of the church with Mary, Joseph, and a baby Jesus. But later that night, some members discovered that the resin statue doll had been stolen. And a week later, that the statue had not been returned and was replaced by a little baby doll that was wrapped in a fleece and said, cute as a bug, on the fleece, the pastor said, who was not amused. Pastors need more of a sense of humor. I don't know if anyone was upset more about this than I am, he said. It's unfortunate. You can't steal Christ from Christmas. That's the beauty of Christmas. He said, Jesus is the one true gift no one can take. Well, I guess that's all true, but it's still funny. All right, this one is my absolute favorite. This is from 2006. John and Joan Lessing were quite upset last year when someone stole the plastic infant Jesus from the lighted manger scene outside their Buffalo, New York home. This year, they have the Jesus statue back and a pretty weird story to tell at Christmas parties. When we tell people about it, they just look at us and they say, wow, that really happened? Then we show them the photo album. The Lessings, who are residents of this area in Buffalo, they have displayed a brightly lit outdoor manger scene with statues of Mary, Joseph, the baby Jesus, wise men, other biblical figures, and some of the animals. They looked out their window and realized on Christmas Eve that the baby Jesus, with the little plastic 18 inches tall one, was missing from somebody stolen it from the manger. In the statue's place, someone had left a note saying that they needed the statue for something and that they would return it in 3 days. Well, that didn't happen. It didn't get returned in 3 days. Weeks passed, then months, the statue was not returned. So Joan Lessing started wondering if she might be able to find another similar baby Jesus statue at a garage sale. Then one morning in late August, John Lessing opened his door and found the statue lying on the doorstep. With it was a note and a photo album. Please read this letter in its entirety before passing judgment on the actions and events that have taken place, the letter began. We're simply a group of friends who wish to show the baby Jesus a good time and a better life than he would have seen cooped up in an attic crawl space. He's traveled over counties and states, met people and animals alike. We have done the best to show the baby Jesus the many glorious aspects of our world. Photo album was full of snapshots taken of their Jesus statue at various locations all over New York State. Someone had posed in front of the thruway signs on Route 87. It was seen at the Rip Van Winkle Bridge south of Albany, at the Niagara Falls and the Buffalo on the New York side, at a psychiatric center in Rochester. Jesus had been all over, and they have the documentation to prove it. You see these news stories all over. That one is my favorite because that's the most creative. I mean, that's really cool. I talked about this in a sermon a few Christmas Eves ago at a previous church I served. I told some of these stories. And wouldn't you know, as I was leaving the church and locking up that night, Jesus was missing from our nativity scene. And about 6 months later, I found out who took it. He brought it back. I said, hey, you remember that sermon you gave? Here's the baby Jesus. So I want us to think about something tonight. Here we are, Christmas Eve. Many of you have come in maybe to visit family, but you're here because there's something about Christmas Eve. Maybe it's parents twisting your arm to be here. Maybe it's just the thing that you do on Christmas Eve is to come to church. So no matter why you're here, I'm glad you're here, and I want to give you hopefully just something to take with you tonight in the midst of all the busyness of this season, the busyness of our lives, the craziness of this year and all that it has held for us as a community and as a nation. I hope tonight is a time to just relax, to be with family, to reflect on the love of God, and hopefully to take something with you tonight. I'm going to invite you to take baby Jesus from the nativity. Not the $189 baby Jesus here on this set. But I'm going to invite you, as you leave here tonight, as you go into the craziness of tomorrow, of this week, of into the next year, and the uncertainty that next year holds for all of us. None of us know what another day will bring. I want you to take Jesus with you. It's so easy, especially on Christmas Eve, to come and, oh, we hear the story of the birth of Jesus, which probably all of us could just recite in our sleep. We come here, we hear, sing some familiar hymns, we're surrounded by family, and it's easy to leave just the same people that came into the door. It's easy to get swept up in the nostalgia and the beauty of the season without digging a little bit deeper and getting at just a bit of a glimpse of why we're here tonight. We're here because God loves us. And that may sound trite and corny, but until any of us can really mine the depths of what that means, we're going to keep saying it. God loves us, and God loves us so much, and God wanted to identify with us and to be with us, that God came into our world in the form of Jesus to show us the path back to God, to show us how to love each other, to show us how to be in a right relationship with each other and with God. But how easy it would be to just walk out tonight and to leave Jesus here and to not let his birth, his life, his death, all that is wrapped up in Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, to let none of that affect us and change us. It's really all about the love of God. It's all about the love of God. It's the love that was announced to those shepherds that moved them in such a way that they had to go find out about this for themselves. It's the love of God that kept Joseph with Mary, even though he was struggling to try to figure out what was going on. Here is this young woman he's married to who's pregnant, and as I said in church last Sunday, babies were made 2,000 years ago the same way babies are made today. And so Joseph is trying to figure out what's going on, what's happening. It's the love of God that kept Joseph there with her, that calmed him, that eased his mind, that helped him see that this was all part of something miraculous and big and huge that God was doing. It's the love of God that brought those sages, those mystics, those scientists from the east to travel toward Bethlehem to find out what this was about. The love of God is behind all of that, helping all of this come into play, all of this to materialize in a particular way, all of it so that God could communicate to us in a language that we can understand how much he loves us. That's really what's at the core of all of this, is the love of God. There's a story about Carl Barth. For those of you, who's here has heard of Carl Barth? I know that one or two people will raise their hand. Karl Barth was probably the most influential and well-written theologian of the 20th century. He was a Swiss man. He was a reformer, a reformed preacher, wrote thousands of pages, read a lot in seminary, and I can't remember a thing I read. Anyway, he was giving a series of lectures at the University of Chicago Divinity School. He was quite ill. This was near the end of his life. And he had been planning on giving a three-day series of lectures, and there were thousands of students who were there at the University of Chicago who were there to hear him. Well, it came down to about the end of the second day, and his health was deteriorating in such a way that he couldn't continue. And so the Divinity School president announced to the body there at one of the plenary sessions that Dr. Barth would not be able to continue because of his health, but that the university president, on behalf of everybody there, would ask him one question, because they were supposed to have a question and answer time. He was going to ask him one question, and then Dr. Barth would have to leave and get on a plane to go back home to convalesce. And so the university president, they were sitting there at the table in the front of the hall with Dr. Barth, and he said, "Dr. Barth, in your decades and decades of study, of research, of preaching, of writing, what is the deepest and most profound theological insight that you have ever had?" And they said the room was quiet and people were ready to write down the great revelation that this man could pass on to them. The people who were there said that Dr. Barth had his eyes closed and he was quite ill. And he put his head back and then he opened his eyes. This smile came over his face. And he said, "This is the greatest insight that I've ever received." He said, "It's this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." It was the greatest thing that he could share. Because friends, really, at the end of the day, at the end of a life, at the end of it all, what is there but the love of God to sustain us, to keep us going, to give us meaning and purpose? What is there but the love of God? The love of God made known to us in Jesus, whose birth we celebrate tonight. So friends, when you leave this place tonight, if you don't remember anything else I've said, and I trust that a good many of you won't, take Jesus with you. Take Jesus out of the manger. Don't let him stay there. Let Jesus loose and wild in your life, in your relationships with others. Let his love and his grace transform you and consume you. Let it set you on fire, so that each one of us can be people who bring love and light into our world, into a world that I think right now perhaps needs it now more than ever. Take Jesus out of the manger. Keep him with you. And be changed. Amen. Would you stand as you are able? And join me in our affirmation of faith, the Nicene Creed on page 880. Let us say this together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Invite our ushers to come forward at this time as we receive our offering. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the love that we find in your Son, Jesus Christ. May the gifts that have been given be used to bring love into a hurting world around us. We pray in his name. Amen. You may be seated, and please turn in your hymnals to page 12. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and who seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory
to God. Amen. I invite you just to turn to someone next to you and exchange a sign of God's peace and love. That's right. I invite you to join me in the next page, page 13, at the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. In the fullness of time, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. And at his birth, the angels sang, "Glory to you in the highest, and peace to your people on earth." And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. As Mary and Joseph went from Galilee to Bethlehem and there found no room, so Jesus went from Galilee to Jerusalem and was despised and rejected by many. As in the poverty of a stable Jesus was born, so by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. As your word became flesh, born of a woman on that night long ago, we remember another night, a night in which he gave himself up for us. We remember that he took bread, he gave thanks to you, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, again gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Drink this as often as you do it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts before us. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. In the cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. Randall, Mary Lou, and Fran, would you come forward? Friends, the table is ready. At the usher's direction, you'll be invited to come forward. As I said, you'll be given a piece of bread to dip in the cup, and you may return to your seats by the side aisles. Come and be fed. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world strengthened by the power of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, the moment you've all been waiting for, when we get to be pyrotechnics for an evening. It's the end. That's just, listen, I told you we don't have any dummies in this church. He knows that the candlelight means it's the end, so he's excited. So friends, the ushers are going to begin lighting our candles, I'm assuming from the outside. You're the first person on the rows here. As it's noted in your bulletin, tip your candle toward the lit candle. Don't have them tip their lit candle toward you and get you drenched with wax and set on fire. We don't want that tonight. We want you set on fire in a different way. So we'll invite the ushers to come forward, and we're going to sing Silent Night. It's 239 in your hymnal. You get the lights in the back, too.
Amen.
Friends, may the wonder of this night, the beauty of it, the love that surrounds you in this moment, the love of God that entered our world 2,000 years ago, may you be filled, may you be transformed, and may you be changed. May you be people who take Jesus out of the manger into your life, and may you reflect that love, that joy, and that peace that he came to bring us. May you reflect that this day, tomorrow, next year, and in all days to come. May you be filled with the power of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.